The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Last week, as the first Sunday talk of the year, I gave a talk on the Four Noble Truths, which in some ways is a core foundational perspective on our lives that Buddhism encourages. And today I'd like to offer what I think is a different core fundamental practice or place that Buddhism begins, and that is in our bodies. Maybe the teaching of the Four Noble Truths, a little bit the teachings, which kind of can be rest contentedly in your mind. But for Buddhist practice to really take root and be rooted in us, we want to be centered in our body. And so as a second talk of the year, and really to emphasize the tremendous importance that Buddhism gives on mindfulness of the body, I'd like to give a talk on that topic. And in particular, maybe it's even more kind of as foundational to that, I'd like to say some words about our posture. And perhaps the subject of today's talk can be called mindful postures. I read about a YouTube little phenomena or TED Talk phenomena or something of a woman who's come up with power postures. Mm-hmm. And I saw that power postures. We should have mindful postures. And posture is very important. And what's maybe unnoticed unless you kind of think about it is that you always have a posture. No matter where you are, what you do, there's a posture that you're in. You're sitting or standing, lying down, walking, or everything in between. And so that's something we're doing. When I came back from the 3 years in a Zen monastery, one day I went to have a formal interview with my Zen teacher. And a formal interview means you sit cross-legged like I'm sitting now, kind of maybe 2 or 3 feet away from each other in a very quiet, still room. And you kind of have this face-to-face meeting. It's kind of a little bit, can be intimidating. It can also be quite intimate and very powerful kind of way of meeting someone. And I said to him in that meeting that one of the things that had happened coming back from the 3 years in the monastery is in the monastery, much of the posture, a good part of the day, is choreographed. You're supposed to stand, in a Zen monastery, there are times you're supposed to stand a particular way, put your hands in a particular way, you're supposed to sit in a particular way, there are times you walk a particular way, you handle particular, like you're eating bowls and eating utensils, you handle them with a certain posture, a certain way. And so it's kind of given to you. This is how you use your body throughout the day. It's kind of choreographed. There's a kind of a dance or a ritual or a way of doing it. That's quite powerful, quite useful as a training in mindfulness of the body. When I left the monastery, and this is what I told him, and was back and living a more ordinary life, I had left the dance. I'd left the performance. I'd left the choreographed kind of situation. And when I sat down in a chair, you know these four-legged chairs, which, you know, in the monastery we sat cross-legged so much, but sat down in a four-legged chair, I realized that I had a lot of choices. I had a lot of choices about how I sat there. Before I went to the monastery, it never occurred to me I had a choice about how I sat in the chair. I just sat in the chair. And maybe that's more freeing, I don't know. But in some ways, but also it means I was unconscious about the choices that I was making. We make choices about our posture all the time, how we sit, how we stand, how we are. And what the Zen training did for me was to make me aware that I have choices and that I was making choices. And the choices are consequential. So to slump is a choice. To twist and turn is a choice. To sit straight is a choice. To use a backrest is a choice. How much the backrest you use is a choice. And, you know, if we're just kind of semi-consciously just following our comfort, which is fine up to a degree, we might not really be availing ourselves of the full power or value of really paying attention to our posture and making it a choice, a possibility. So I told my Zen teacher this. I said, you know, I feel like I have so much choices now. How I sit in the chair is, you know, I have to decide how to sit and all these choices. And his response to me was very uncharacteristic of what happens in Zen monasteries. Remember, we were sitting this formal way, and we do a lot of bowing in Zen, right? Like, if you approve someone, you bow. If you don't approve them, you bow. If you don't know whether to approve or not approve, you bow. It's wonderful. Anyway, so it's a formal thing, right? So I told him this about my choice, and so many choices now about how to, the posture and how to hold my body in my daily life. He reached forward and shook my hand. You know, that communicates a certain posture, that communicates a certain something in the world when you shake someone's hand. And I felt it was a different kind of respect, congratulations, different kind of just, you know, great. So it was nice. So we're always in a particular posture, and our postures can support us or they can undermine us. And one of the things about, I think one of the interesting things about posture, the word posture, is how posture in English can mean the physical posture you're in, but there's also the word posturing. You know, all those people were posturing at work. You know, and so, you know, I think that the idea is that it's some kind of bridge between what we do with our physical posture and sometimes this, you know, what we're trying to accomplish socially and how we hold ourselves and all that. Because a lot of stuff gets expressed in our posture. Our discomfort gets expressed in our posture. And if you're with someone and they're uncomfortable for some reason with you, you probably don't get them full front and center, just really there with you. They might be pulled back slightly or twisted or turned slightly. This hasn't happened for many, many years now, but I was kind of amazed when this happened a series of times. It was in the wake of my Zen training where, you know, you can a little bit overdo Zen training where you're kind of really present for things. You know? Sometimes I've been around Zen people who are so present that it, like, give me a little break. You know, like, and so I was a little bit in that kind of wake. So I like to kind of face people directly, and when I talk to them, and there were some people occasionally they would turn 45 degrees to me, kind of looking over their shoulder. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So I would turn. We were standing in open space, and I would follow them around. So in order to face them, so we could, you know, catch up to them where their torso is facing, right? And when I did that, they turned. And literally, we went around 360 degrees. And more amazing, as far as I could tell, they were completely unconscious of what was going on. They had no idea that, you know, maybe we were doing a slow dance, right? They had no idea what was going on. So were they uncomfortable with contact, with the kind of being looked at directly or being present? Was I being too much? You know, what was going on there in that, with them in that kind of encounter? I've seen in it's easy in myself, and I assume in many people, that certain moods and emotions that we have or attitudes that we carry with us, we almost automatically translate into our posture, how we hold ourselves. And so if we feel discouraged or depressed, there's a slumping, there's a sinking. And if we kind of give in to that or kind of allow for it, then the posture continues to reinforce the particular mood, the discouragement, the depression. there's a reciprocal relationship between what goes on in our body and what goes on in our inner attitude and mood and all that. And so, you know, sometimes I think it's a spiral that kind of can be undermining us more and more. We feel maybe sad or discouraged or depressed, and so we kind of give up a little bit with our posture and kind of slump back. And that just kind of reinforces the fact that things are not so good for us, it's difficult. And so then we feel more depressed. And then, you know, we slump even more. And so it can sink and sink. The first time in my life where I saw this operating, and it was a time when I was depressed in college. And I probably wasn't that depressed, but, you know, if you hear the story, so don't think that I now say that depression is this easy at all. But, I came back from school one day, and I slumped, I kind of crashed down on the couch, and I was feeling really depressed and maybe sorry for myself. But my posture, I was so completely, thoroughly slumping that literally my shoulders were in the, you know, in the corner between the seat and the backrest of the couch. It was like, you know, couldn't be more horizontal, kind of with the upper torso and the, you know, the couch, you know. Oh, you know, things are hard. And it was so dramatic for this, I thought, this is interesting. So what happens if I sit upright, I thought. And so I sat upright, and my depression went away. So again, remember I said, it's not that easy always. I probably had a very mild depression. But that got my attention. Wow, look at that difference in the posture. So sometimes our posture undermines us, especially if we give in to, you know, kind of attitudes and emotions which themselves are draining our energy, our vitality. But also posture can be strengthening for us and can be supportive for us. And so in that particular couch situation, when I sat up straight, it supported me, it enlivened me, it kind of let something clear the air, cleared my mind or my heart in some kind of way that was kind of dramatic at that moment. Sometimes the benefit we get from sitting upright in a, you know, upright in a balanced, upright way maybe isn't so dramatic, but maybe all the benefit we're getting is the posture is not undermining us. And that counts for a lot. But I think that often we get a little bit, it could be a very small benefit, but sometimes that benefit of sitting upright and present for our experience, really being there in a full embodied way for the here, is uncomfortable. Because in that kind of situation, sometimes we have to kind of really feel what's happening more fully. Sometimes when we collapse and pull down or kind of recede in our posture, sometimes there's a way in which we kind of are pulling back from really being present or recognizing what's fully there. And so sometimes to really sit there upright means you have to kind of feel the discomfort, the fear, the, you know, whatever that might be, the anger, whatever that might be there that's uncomfortable. I was in a meeting on Friday of a meeting that where there was some very strong emotions and feelings going on around the room. And some people felt very hurt by some other people in the group and were very expressive in a very nice way about how they felt. I felt very sad listening to this. But the strongest thing I felt was I felt a deep ache in my heart, physical ache, kind of like a little heartbroken by all this. And as I felt that my role, one of my roles in that situation, was to keep sitting upright with the chest open and kind of exposed, present, and just making space, with an open space for what I was feeling inside, to let it be there, to let it be part of the scene. I could feel a movement to recede and pull back, but I felt, no, here, this is a place, this is the time and place to allow this ache to exist. The ache is part of the group. It's part of what was going on at that time. And it has to be there in the room. It has to be part of the whole thing. A lot of other people were aching too. It wasn't just me, right? But it's just, you know, to sit there and be present and upright. So when we come to meditation practice, the posture you take is consequential. So if you're doing seated meditation, that's what you can do, whether you sit in a chair or sit, you know, in a cushion cross-legged. The posture that you take is not just like an, you know, incidental thing. You want to just take some convenient posture that way you can forget your body. You know, you want to just kind of like the body is kind of a nuisance. You know, the body's what carries you, gets you around. You know, and as long as it gets you around properly, then it's, you know, it does its duty. But the body is you as much as anything else. And part of the practice of Buddhism is to integrate the body and the mind, the body and the inner life, so they really become one as a whole, operating together. And so the body shouldn't just be some incidental thing. Just take some convenient posture so you can be comfortable for the duration of the meditation and don't have to think about your body anymore, so you can really do the important mind stuff, the mind work of meditation. I think of mindfulness, I prefer to actually, in my own mind, to call mindfulness a bodyfulness, because of how important it is to be aware or centered or grounded in the body as we practice. I think of it as, you know, this wonderful triangle. If you sit cross-legged, you have this wonderful triangle of how you sit, that some people call a mountain pose, you know, sitting like a mountain. And I think of the mountain having this wide base that offers its support. And so, you know, our wonderful little insecure thinking mind gets to have the pride of place in being, for some of us, I don't know where you are, but, but you know, up in the head, the top of the mountain, top of the pyramid. But we have to have this huge base that supports it. And, you know, 99% of who we are is like this, the support for this little thinking thing that's just not that important after all. And the whole thing is important. You're important, but the whole thing. So to feel them, to be grounded and centered in the body. So to sit down in such a way that your posture is intentional. Mindful postures are intentional postures. So there should be some intent in your posture. You don't want to just kind of find a posture that, you know, just kind of, you know, just kind of easy and you just kind of don't think about it anymore. But there should be some, there's a kind of a groundedness or awareness, mindfulness in being intentional in the posture you take. So sit down and take a little bit of time to find, you know, just find your posture. Even if you have a common posture, take a little bit of time to really settle into it. There's all these little nuances of difference that your ordinary posture can take depending on what's going on in your everyday life and where you're tight or where you're loose or what's going on. And it's nice to kind of take time to feel your way in, to feel what's the right way to take this posture today. You know, and one of the great things in I felt was in Zen training was how much we were instructed to rock before we sat. Rock out. You know, we're supposed to actually sway. And the instruction was sway really wide first and then kind of make smaller and smaller arcs until you come to center. And that's kind of a way of feeling away. What's right now? What's the right place right now to sit? And then you could also kind of sway front and back. And then you can move your shoulders a little bit. And move your head sideways. You can say no a little bit. Some people like to, you know, they haven't said a no enough. And then it's also good to say yes. Some people haven't said yes enough. And so you can do that just to kind of line up your neck a little bit and feel your way into how it should be. And then I think it's great when you sit to feel what's happening in your chest. How does the posture you take affect your chest, your heart? You know, some people collapse here and pull in. It doesn't have to be dramatic, but just a little bit. You don't want to be puffed up, of course, right? But there's a way of kind of just being open here in the chest where you feel maybe a little bit, it can be a little tender and vulnerable. But I suggest that in your meditation, where it's hopefully when you wherever you meditate, is generally a safe place. You know, no one's going to take advantage of you when you close your eyes and meditate. It's a safe place to have it open, vulnerable chest or heart, if that's what you feel, to make space for that, to hold that. Or if you feel a lot of anger, or you know, that goes on, you're simmering inside. Can you make space for that? Hold that. So this idea of making space, I think, is also as a physical phenomenon. Make space with your chest. Let your chest be open a little bit. In Zen, one of the things they taught is rather than lifting out your chest, they talked about take the spine between your shoulder blades and pull that in gently. And that little bit has the same effect of opening this, but you're not pushing it open. You're not pulling it open. You're kind of like, it's more passive. It's a result of the spine coming in. And then if you take a posture which feels, one of the things we're trying to do with posture and meditation is to have a posture where we're basically aligned, if we can, the best we can, so that gravity can help the body relax. The body can relax most deeply as possible. If you're the couch slumper, and one of the things happens if you're slumped really good in the couch, like I was that day, you lean back and your shoulders kind of roll forward, and then you say, "Well, let me relax." If you're sitting really like your shoulders up to your ears and rolled forward, and you say, "Let me relax." There's actually not much space to relax in. But if you pull your shoulders back, then actually maybe the way the shoulders fit in their sockets, the arm fit in the sockets there, maybe there's more room for the body to relax. If you're scrunched over in your belly has a hard time relaxing. But if you're open in your belly, then the belly can open and sink. Same thing with the chest. So to have a posture that allows the body to relax. Many, many years ago, I read a study in a journal, I guess it comes from a kind of physiology study, where they measured which postures human beings could relax the most deeply in. It was the corpse posture in yoga, where you just kind of lay on your back and kind of, I don't know if this is true for everyone, but maybe it's more like, generally. And it's a corpse posture, which makes some sense. You're completely kind of let go. But what surprised me was the second posture, which people can relax the most deeply in, was the cross-legged meditation posture. And that kind of was more counterintuitive, because it doesn't mean that you're not being supported. You're holding yourself up. When you're laying down in corpse posture, you're not doing any work holding yourself up. But what it speaks to is that there's something about finding yourself aligned and balanced in the spine and here that allows so much of the musculature to relax deeply. And it's there's certainly the muscles and tendons and bones that hold us upright, but there's all the surface muscles, many of them at least, seems like a deep relaxation can go on. And this is my experience. But it's not automatic. And so what's nice about taking an intentional, careful posture, a posture which expresses attention, you think about it for yourself. If you sit down and you were going to manifest attention in your body, what would it look like? And an example that people give for this is seeing little babies when they're really attentive. Maybe all I have on is a diaper. So it's beautiful to see their spine and how upright they are sometimes. It's like you can feel almost their attention in their spine that's there because of. So to take a posture which feels like you're expressing, you're really going to be attentive here. And then have some intention to stay with that, to be with that, to be in your body, to be rooted and grounded in it. But if you take a posture which is, relatively well aligned for meditation posture, then slowly over time, a number of things happen. One is it begins to reveal the places where you have a lot of holding. It reveals some of the emotions which are lodged in our body. And that revelation, that discovery of what's actually going on is very important. One of the reasons it's important is that then we can give more space for them to be there and allow them to unfold the way they do. Generally, it's helpful to think that meditation is not a time and place to fix things. to solve things, but it's a time and place to let things dissolve. And so I've sat many times with tension in my body, and I just sit and meditate, and I'm very aware of the tension. Sometimes I hold the tension with awareness, but I hold it also, and this feels very important, I hold it also in this, some semblance of a yogic posture, sitting upright, aligned the best I can. And in that posture, feeling the discomfort, I know I cannot feel it if I go to the couch, and just slump a little bit and turn on the TV. But to feel the discomfort, it's such a great thing, because then slowly it begins to work itself out. If it's just kind of a tension of a day, maybe it works out in that particular meditation session. It just kind of relaxes. But if it's tension that comes from months or years of holding, then it takes a while in meditation. Slowly, slowly, incrementally, the body begins to release and let go. And people who do meditation regularly for a long time start developing what some people call a yogic body, a body that somehow adopted itself for an aligned, balanced posture. The places of excessive holding begin to release, many of them, and the muscles which are weak because of imbalances of how we live our lives get stronger. And so to take a posture that's intentional, aligned, upright, and allow the certain muscles to get strong and allow certain tensions to let go is a slow process that unfolds over months and years that you practice. The unwinding of tension that we hold is faster than how quickly it got lodged in there, generally. And so as we do this, one of the great things that happens is that this intentional, clear, upright posture that we begin to unwind, dissolve, work out some of the tensions and holdings, is it becomes a more and more sensitive instrument. It becomes more and more, its capacity to perceive or to sense or to feel what's going on becomes more and more heightened. And to have your body be an antenna, to have your body be part of the perceptional apparatus that takes in the sense data from the world around you and from within you, increases the amount of self-understanding and social understanding we have. We get a tremendous amount of information through our body. If we're only trying to understand things through our minds, through our thoughts, we only get a kind of, a percentage of what is really going on. But it's particularly true for ourselves. We pick up, as the body becomes more and more sensitive, we become aware of our emotions, our feelings, our attitudes. And we also start becoming aware of the subtleties of how our thoughts operate and how the impact our thoughts have on us. Thoughts are not disembodied. Thoughts have this, our thinking has these tentacles that spread out into our body. It's amazing. It's quite interesting to watch how the tentacles of thinking affects the rest of our body. And so to start meditation practice with a posture which is intentional, intentionally expresses attention the best we can, to receive some instructions in meditation posture perhaps, so you know what an aligned, upright posture might look like for you. And then begin opening and allowing for the unfolding and the changing that that does for you, the discoveries of what that does, to what shows you, what you learn about yourself from it. And then to take that in meditation and translate that into your daily life. To start using that information, that ability to notice your posture and what goes on, to have a heightened awareness of all the little attitudes and assumptions and moods that go on in your daily life as well. And to notice things like, for example, notice what your hands are doing. Your hands, some hands express a lot. And, you're talking with someone and you start, tapping your fingers on the table, Are you impatient, they ask you? Are you bored? you know, or you start wringing your fingers, you know, like, you know, maybe that's a sign of anxiety. That your hands often can express a lot. Or how you hold your torso, what's happening with your shoulders, your face. None of this means that you discover anything that says that you're bad as a person, but it's all because you're wonderful, that you want to start becoming noticing what's actually going on here. What is actually happening with you inside? And how can you hold and be with what's here so to allow for yourself to be, to benefit from it, to be enlivened by it, to be freed by what's going on? And so posture is a great support. Posture is a great entryway for mindfulness. So much so that I think of our posture is the frame that holds the practice. So pay attention to posture and give it your, let it be a support for you in your life. So thank you all for coming today.